The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN FC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Shaka Hislop and Stevie Nicol. So much to talk about from the Premier League in particular. We could have started anywhere, but we'll kick things off with the defending champions. Manchester City taking on Crystal Palace. This aside, let's not forget, who went to City and won last season. And they were 2-0 up at half-time. But then a goal from Bernardo Silva, then a hat-trick from Erling Haaland guaranteed City the victory to continue their unbeaten start to the season. And you take a look at the prestigious list now. The Erling Haaland joins of Norwegian players who've scored Premier League hat-tricks. You look at some of the names, some familiar, some not so, but some we call friends. Jan Agerfjordtoft is with us, as is Frank Leboeuf. Jan, what a moment for you not to be in England to cover this.
Week and a half, terrible when he scored a hat-trick, of course. I just want to add to that list, who scored the first hat-trick in the Premier League? That's the most important thing,
of
not
course.
Who scored the last,
yes.
Of course.
Yeah, being the first, obviously, the key moment of
always,
it all.
Yes.
Erling Haaland. What's interesting, Jan, we were talking about this before, there's almost an inevitability about it that the ball's going to find him somehow in the box.
Absolutely, and I think the three goals kind of summarise him, because first of all, when Erling plays, you just expect it. That is the kind of... He is the Foden thing. And he said in an interview after the game, I have been screaming to him in training all week to play me. And then this one, he just there. But he positioned himself where his percentage way of get the ball. And this one, this is pure Erling Braut Haaland. Using his strength, people just dying around him, and he makes a hat-trick, and he loves to make a hat-trick, this boy, as anybody do, but like you say, Dan, he just make everything look so normal.
Shaka, this was such a fun match, wasn't it?
It really was. First of all, we have to pay tribute to Crystal Palace as well, who, again, getting off to the start that they did, exposed some of City's deficiencies from set pieces. I still don't know how Kyle Walker ends up on Anderson, but that's a discussion, I guess, for Pep Guardiola. And they have proved themselves to be a very good team. Once they got the lead, sat back in, sat deep, back five, four in front of them, still looking a little dangerous on the counter-attack. And you just wonder if they could resist City long enough. But as this game went on, the more you saw the effect of Erling Haaland, and this is not just about his goals. This is about the fact that when City get the ball wide, they don't have to look for runners and intricate one-twos in the box and somebody arriving late. All they have to do is get the ball out wide to the likes of Cancelo or De Bruyne, or in today's case, Foden, clip little balls in, and Erling Haaland, for as much as we praise, and rightly so, his instincts in and around the box, just having that target. And know that you don't have to do much special at all. I could go out wide and cross a ball and Haaland could score. Put the quality that City have at their disposal and you just know goals are going to come. It felt a little hard, again, on a very good Crystal Palace team. But this is who City are, or certainly who City are now with Haaland on the park.
Yeah, and this is City going to another level, Stevie, where we were saying there was almost an inevitability about it, despite the fact they were 2-0 down.
Yeah, well, I was actually watching another game,
yes.
And I saw the score, and it was 2-0 at half-time, and the first thing that came to my head was, I'll take 2-2 now.
Right.
You can't get past that they're going to score goals, and you can't get past that with Haaland, they're going to score even more goals. So, yeah, it's not a surprise. It's really not a surprise. I'm just disappointed it wasn't 2-2.
Well, yes. you've had a couple of disappointments today, Stevie. We'll come
to
those.
Yeah, there is another. A bigger one.
Frank, I know you were focusing on a different game, but you saw the third goal there, the hat-trick goal for Erling Haaland. From a centre-back's perspective, how do you defend against someone who has got so much strength and so much balance and so much control of the ball?
Well, it's almost impossible. We saw the defender trying to go over or around him and couldn't get him because the guy is so huge, so massive, and with a very good technique. He knows exactly what he has to do to put his body between the ball and the defender, and then controls the ball perfectly into the way that he where he wants to go, and put his left foot inside of his left foot to make sure that he's going to be precise. So, for defender, and unless you know that Gundogan is going to give him the ball, and you pace up, you know, to cover a little bit even more, you're dead because it's impossible. The guy is fast. The guy is technique. The guy is huge. How do you want to cope with that? He's an alien.
But it's not easy to come to the from the Bundesliga to the Premier League, Jan.
No, Farmers League. You know, Liverpool got the striker today as well. Firmino had a fantastic game. Oh, he came from Bundesliga too. Okay.
And that's about time, though. By the way, he's waited 18 months.
Yeah, winning some trophies there. But
yeah. just when it was needed as well.
All right, calm down.
he started it. He started it.
It's been a tough day. It's been a tough day for Stevie.
Ever since Arsenal came back.
Yeah. As Stevie, you know, and me, and I know that we have a game on now in Bundesliga. It's going to be so exciting, you know. Bayern didn't win the league this week either. But I just want to add to what Frank said. Yes, 100% right what he said. But I just want to remind us with what we talked about Erling Haaland all the time. The way he is kind of creating that space for himself, he kind of opened up through his runs. And then he uses his strengths, his technique and his instinct to go into that room. That is what is always so impressive. And talking about coming from the Bundesliga to the Premier League, you just get a feeling those kind of players, it doesn't matter which league they will play, which teams they do play. Erling Haaland will play the same way in the Premier League as he do for Norway, as he do in the Bundesliga. If he played for Real Madrid, he would have done the same. This is just his way of playing football. And I must say, I'm very impressed how quick Manchester City have adjusted to him and how quick he has adjusted to them. And after the game, Pep Guardiola said it again. It's unbelievable how quick this guy and is humble and how he adjusts outside the pitch as well. Because I think that is the main thing for this goal-scoring 6-4 now.
What was interesting, of course, quite rare in the Premier League, you had quite a few of the big teams playing simultaneously. So, Frank, you were focusing on your former side, Chelsea, who are in action against Leicester. They won by 2-1, despite the fact that Gallagher was sent off early on in this game. Raheem Sterling getting his first goals in a Chelsea shirt, both of them to give them the 3 points. How would you sum up this performance from Chelsea, Frank?
It's a big performance because, as you said, they played 10 against 11 for an hour. And that's, I think, the word of the weekend for the big teams is resilience. It happened for Manchester City. It happened for Chelsea. Despite, you know, that you have maybe the score against you or maybe that you play 10 against 11, you never give up. You believe on what you have to do. You keep on the tactic that the coach gave to you, and it works. And Sterling could have scored an hat trick today. I found Thiago Silva fantastic today again. And everybody was working very much to compensate the fact that Gallagher was sent off. And it's never easy, even if Leicester is not the Leicester that we used to know. When you play 10 against 11 and you lose the player after 28 minutes, you feel, especially Chelsea from the past year, that they would never get the 3 points. And they did. They worked hard. They pressed. They kept on pressing. Tuchel had a very good idea of playing at three at the back to fill up the middle of the park. Everything worked well with, again, the resilience of the player believing that it could get a good result.
You both watch Chelsea as well, boys.
I'll tell you what, Thiago Silva, if he hadn't played today, they would have lost this game. As much as they were the better side, and they were absolutely cruising at 2-0, and then Mendy threw one, he got beaten at his near post from Barnes. And as you can imagine, you've got 10 men, the opposition are coming after you. So for the last, what, 20-odd minutes, they absolutely threw everything at Chelsea. And Thiago Silva in those 20 minutes must have cut out at least three or four crosses and opportunities that Leicester had in that small period of time in his own. He was absolutely brilliant. Yes, Sterling got the two goals, could have had the three, but without Silva, they don't win this game today.
It was more about the result than the performance today, wasn't it? For Chelsea, after that defeat against Leeds, they didn't blow you away.
They had to get a result, and that's without question. But at the same time, you saw some of Chelsea's issues. And yesterday, when I was speaking about Leicester, I said I was generally worried about them. And this 90 minutes didn't do anything to address that. Chelsea got a little fortune with the deflection for the goal from Raheem Sterling. Even more so earlier on at 0-0, Barnes had a goal disallowed that I thought Mendy was a little bit fortunate to get the benefit of that call for. And then I felt a little sorry for Gallagher with his red card. He was left exposed by Cucurella and two poor balls in. But then even with 10 men, and this is my issue with Leicester City and why I'm struggling as to how I feel about this as far as Chelsea are concerned is, even with 10 men, Cucurella and Raheem Sterling were picking the ball up in 10 yards of space every single time.
Right.
I honestly can't understand how Leicester, with a man advantage, seemed to be so at sea. And so, while from a Chelsea perspective, yes, you get the result, absolutely fantastic, you needed that, because of who it was against, I'm not sure that it addresses many of your issues.
From a Chelsea perspective, Frank, is this going to be the catalyst for them to go out and pay that extra money for Aubameyang? Because you still feel like they need someone who's going to get the goals.
I don't know if it would be for Aubameyang, but, I've been heard that they want to buy, you know, a central defender for lots of money. It could be history in the Premier League.
Yeah, we know that Fofana's going to happen at the back, don't we? Fofana's going to happen. That's pretty much signed and sealed. But there's, 5 days to go to the window closes. Yeah. Do they need to go out and get a striker?
Yes, I would never change my opinion on that. You know, even if Sterling did well today, I really think that they need a killer. You know, when I see Erling Haaland performing the way he performs, and I see the money that Chelsea has, I wonder why they didn't try to chase him. Maybe it was a done deal between Erling Haaland and Manchester City because of his father's past, you know, I don't know, whatever it was. But why Chelsea didn't try to get him? Because that's a real surprise for me. When you're ready to pay 85 million for a central defender, why didn't try to buy Haaland for 100 million? And you would have gotten him. And you would have somebody, like I said, who is an alien, would have scored like 25, 30 goals a year. I don't know why they didn't do that before. Why they didn't react? Maybe because of the change of chairman, you know, maybe. But the scouts should have said, you know, that there is something, a priority that we have to get is a striker. And the only striker we can get, and we are sure, well, at 99% is going to be successful, is Erling Haaland. They didn't do it, so now they got rid of Lukaku. He's going to come back next year. Maybe they're going to buy Aubameyang, but we know that Aubameyang is not going to score 30 goals. I don't think that. So you lost Lewandowski. So who are you going to get? Yeah, Aubameyang can be somebody who can do at least something good, but I'm still not sure it will be the right man.
Elsewhere, of course, Liverpool were still in search of their first win of the season. Bournemouth looked like perfect opponents, and they certainly proved that way. Liverpool 9, Bournemouth 0 is how...
Expected goals 3.23.
is how it finished. Liverpool 5-0 up at the break. Was it the last time Liverpool won 9-0 at Anfield was against Crystal Palace, where Steve Nicol scored two
Everybody
goals.
Scored that day.
Everyone scored this day with Diaz scoring two as well. How did this game compare to the Crystal Palace game, Stevie, back in 1989?
Well, it was obviously just as easy. And actually, it finished 9 in this game.
Yeah.
And it could have been more. And it could have been the same in our game as well. I think you just summed it up, really. It was the perfect game for Liverpool. They needed something to get kickstart the season.
Yep.
And Bournemouth really are pretty much going to be cannon fodder. As soon as Diaz scored after, what, the third minute of the game, then you did worry. Certainly didn't expect nine. But just the perfect performance when they needed it and can only be good for everybody.
And Trent Alexander-Arnold... Your question is defending. That is some stride.
Yeah, I mean, what a conundrum. Because there's no question. Going forward, from the back, there's nobody better in the Premier League going down the right-hand side. There isn't. Unfortunately, he can't defend. But it's a conundrum for anybody. It's the same with Gareth Southgate for England. Who do you play?
Yeah. Also, another conundrum surely got to be Nunez back from suspension.
No.
No?
No.
That's not even an issue. He's right back in the starting 11.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. Listen, Bobby Firmino scored a couple of goals today, but don't be fooled. You know, he has been nowhere near his best for the last 18 months, and he got fortunate with his first goal today. Second one he took it well, but, you know, scoring two goals and playing well against Bournemouth is good for him. It's a wee bit of a lift. But the truth is, Bobby Firmino, I think we've seen the best days of him. And he's going to be a guy, when Nunez is fit, right, or not fit, but not suspended, has to start ahead of Firmino. Has to.
Anything else you'd like to say about this game?
Not really. I only saw it to 3-0.
All right.
That's all that we're expected to see.
I'm actually glad I switched over to Chelsea, so I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, I think a lot of people did that. Yeah. And just to confirm, there are no easy games in the Premier League, yes?
Yeah,
oh, no. Premier League is so intense. It's so physical. It's the speed and everything. That will never happen in 9-0. No. But Liverpool today won 9-0 against Augsburg. That was something we surprised, not surprisingly.
Meanwhile...
I have a question, though, Dan. I have a question.
Go on, Frank.
Stevie, can you tell me, Stevie, do you count it as an assist, the second one from Firmino when he misses...
He points at Harvey Elliott. Yeah, I meant that.
Yeah. Well, it's a bit the same as Nunez's assist.
Right.
A couple of weeks ago, when Salah scored, just complete miscontrol.
Yes.
It was a lovely finish from Elliot, though.
It was. He was very emotional as well when he scored, didn't he?
Well, I think that's got something to do with the fact that he was out for so long, Dan.
No, I wasn't saying it in a derogatory way. I was just saying he was emotional. That was it. Twisted against me.
I got the worst thing with Nunez. I met him after two first games, and I said to everybody, and I tweeted, "Oh, Nunez, best lad I've ever met. So open. He is so disciplined." And then the third game, red card. See you later.
Right. Meanwhile, the day started at St Mary's. Manchester United taking on Southampton. United looking to continue that momentum after that impressive victory against Liverpool. Ten Hag sticking with the same 11. It paid off. They won 1-0. Just, Stevie, yeah?
Yes. Listen, the one criticism that they've had, particularly away from home, is that they've come out and been defensive and scared and not aggressive at all. At least in this game, you can say from the first whistle, they were aggressive and they were at it.
Yeah.
Now, that doesn't mean that they were world beaters, because they certainly were far from it. Any good football that was played in this game was from United. There was little periods where they knocked the ball around well. I mean, the goal Fernandes scores is a great goal. That's a tough volley from about 18 yards into the bottom corner. They deserve to win. They were the better side, so it's everything they needed. I don't think there would be anything that they didn't show that Ten Hag would have asked for before the game. Yes, we all want our teams to be Brazil in disguise, but from where they were to where they are now, desire. Win the game, you name it, he got what he wanted today. So, yeah.
Job done, kind of job done, Frank, yeah? Without kind of pulling up any roses.
No, nothing much to say about that performance, except that they got the 3 points, and as Stevie said, that's the most important thing. For me, For me, there are two chances to score. One fantastic action where there were four saves, you know, in like 7 seconds from the Saints, and that goal from Bruno Fernandes. Except that, nothing much to see except Ronaldo coming out from coming on the pitch after for the last 20 minutes, and Casemiro, you know, starting like for 10 minutes. That was the only two events that I have to mention. Otherwise, no, 3 points, that's it, go back home. And there will be a big test next week.
Yeah, and do you want to add anything?
No, I'm just saying, I think the key words are at it. You saw that against Liverpool as well. You saw it now against Southampton. They were at it. They defend better. That's what I do. And I think Erik ten Hag, after the Liverpool win, what he wished most was a dirty win away from home. And that's what he got. So that is good for Manchester United. But let's see. There is another week left of the transfer window. A lot of things can happen in the next 4 or 5 days.
Anything, Chad?
No.
OK, all right, then. Moving on to the late game, which saw Arsenal take on Fulham. Arsenal coming from behind to win by 2-1. When Fulham took the lead, I was surprised I didn't get a message from a certain scout member of our team. Arsenal are the only side 100% after 4 games. Stevie, have Arsenal improved from last season?
Oh, see, I was so disappointed as well. Honestly, as soon as Mitrovic scored, I was like, I can't wait to go in the day.
Yeah.
Please, please. But they were the better side by far.
They're looking good, aren't
and
they?
And they played some real good football.
Back into that corner, Dad.
No, they are looking good.
You can't not admit they're looking good at the moment.
All the things they did today are all the things that were missing last year. Particularly,
so they've improved from
from the first minute to the last. I said it before and I'll say it again. What they hadn't been doing last year is playing from the first minute to the last minute at a consistently high level and putting the pressure on the opposition. They had the pressure completely for all this game on Fulham, who fortunately got a break because Gabriel made a complete mess of it. But they still had the guts and the wherewithal to come back. Now, they got a little bit fortunate with the 2 goals, but they should have scored the chances that they created, which were three or four good chances that Leno actually did pretty well at.
Yeah.
But then, of course, we then found out why Leno got transferred from Arsenal, because he comes out for the second goal and makes an absolute mess of it. There's no foul against them. It's just horrible goalkeeping. And Arsenal get the 3 points, which was thoroughly deserved.
Norway dominating this Premier League, Jan.
we always have, Dan. We always have. But I think that some of the key to Arsenal as well is that some of these young guys, they are taking more responsibility. And we could use Martin Ødegaard as an example for that. Being the captain, a leader of the pack, a young guy that's not your typical Roy Keane kind of captain, but is doing it as a model. And it's fun to watch Arsenal at the moment. But as all the Arsenal fans know, they haven't had the best, the toughest opponent so far. But it's good for the confidence. And now let's see. They have something to work on. But I like them. You saw the ball possession, 71-29. You could imagine that Arteta has been with Guardiola for a while.
They're fun to watch, aren't they, Frank?
They are, and again, they showed personalities today, they showed resilience, like I was talking about City and Chelsea. They never give up, and as Stevie again mentioned, you know, comparing to last season, they keep on working hard, and they are successful about that. And I have to join Ian about Martin Odegaard. I mean, with all due respect, and we know that he's not there yet, but he makes me think a little bit of Dennis Bergkamp, the finesse, the class, you know, the good choices that he makes, the technique that he has. The guy makes the difference, you know. He had a chip during the second half. It was a pure beauty. And it's fun to watch, yeah. Except the Gabriel mistakes, they're pretty strong at the back. Everybody works hard defensively and offensively. And it's a good squad. Now we have to wait. It's a big test. I was talking about Manchester United and the Arsenal game next week. We're going to see, you know, how it works. But so far, so good. Fulham does well. Fulham does well, works hard, and is a And Liverpool know that he's a very hard opponent.
Oh, Stevie, next weekend, United, who you hate, against Arsenal, about it who you want to fail.
I've been thinking about it since Frank said it. Right now, I'll go for the. I'll take the draw.
Right, but, if you had to support one of them?
Well, because I've got a bet with you, I'll go United.
Wow, Stevie Nicholl. Goodness gracious.
Oh, my goodness.
It's money, Shaka. It's money,
Stevie. Right.
Meanwhile, midweek game for Arsenal taking on Aston Villa, a side who've struggled so far in the start of the season. Just 3 points after their opening three games. At the moment, though, it's West Ham who sit bottom of the table, aren't they? They're on 0 points. They're in action, though, on Sunday. And just a reminder, for more reaction to what we saw in the Premier League and beyond today, be sure to check out our YouTube channel. Go over to ESPN FC. Don't forget to subscribe. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Look at that, 35 shots, 20 of them on target. But in the end, it finishes Bayern Munich 1, Borussia Mönchengladbach 1.
Fairly even then.
Artie Rintak called out with Thomas Müller after the game.
What is it about Gladbach? They seem to be the only bogey team, Angst Gegner. That can get Bayern's way.
I think the result, I know what you mean, but when you watch the game again, I don't, anybody would say, okay, it's our Angstgegner.
Of course.
We don't play with fear.
not at all.
Not a second.
Every decision, every small decision where he decided for Gladbach and no one for us. And also, I don't know, it's Sommer had two times, 35 seconds, his ball in his hand. And I think the rule is 12 seconds. And sometimes you have to make a decision, a yellow card or something like that. And I think the performance of the referee wasn't that good. And instead of giving yellow card to him, just put your own nose and whistle in the right way for both teams the same. And today I think it was not like that.
Julian, thank you very much.
Now I get wahrscheinlich Strafe.
He said at the end in German there, now I'm probably going to get a fine.
I'm glad he said fine. That's good. It seems a strange thing to pick on the referee, considering that Bayern had all those chances, Jan, and obviously couldn't convert. It just happened to be one of those days, and up against a Jan Sommer who was standing on his head.
Yes, and it was not very charming because I watched this game, and it's not like I think, the referee decided the game. It was lack of finishing. They and Jan Sommer. Remember, this is their goalkeeper who was first linked to Manchester United. Jan Sommer, Swiss goalkeeper, but there was never a chance they will get him because he will try to be number one wherever he goes. And Jan Sommer, I will mean that is maybe one of the best keepers on the line in the whole world. He's fantastic on the line and one game against one. He's not the tallest goalkeeper, but he has games like this and it's unbelievable. And what Nagelsmann doesn't like, and rightly so, because straight after the game he was asked, do you need a number nine? What happened to Lewandowski? And he knew what was coming. And you know the processes. But it's just funny, as also you said, Dan, at the beginning there, in the 10 last games, Gladbach has won 5, 1 draw and 4 losses for Gladbach. So this is a team that they have a lot of problem against Bayern Munich. That's just happened in football. But today, I think Sané was fantastic. Today, he should have had more goals. But I also like the winner of Gladbach with what Thuram did there, because he goes one against Neuer. And yes, it's a big mistake of Upamecano. That is not breaking news, by the way. And then Thuram, just before Neuer, he goes a bit left to take him over, and then he put the ball in right for the striker. That was brilliant. That was not finished, that, after those mistakes from Upamecano. And I'm glad for me and Stevie, we have an excitement again in the Bundesliga. Bayern won't win it.
I would definitely have asked Nagelsmann if they missed Lewandowski. Just getting a punch me in the face. Inevitably, we try and read things into these results, but this was just one of those days, wasn't it?
Yeah, they could have won five. And Bayern is... I mean, sometimes when we discuss this, Dan, and we do it often at the shows, there's a lot of people misunderstanding what we're saying. It's not Bayern Munich's fault that they're so much better than the others. That is Dortmund, Leipzig, Leverkusen being hopeless. Today they were a bit better and they're all winning, but they need to get better. I love this Bayern Munich team. Mané has taken the Bundesliga and Bayern with storm. I heard Xhaka said I was offside. I think that is so sad that these kind of decisions are offside. But Mané has been fantastic for them. They're coming goals from everywhere. And I think we will have to put Bayern Munich up there with the favourites for the Champions League.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
An eventful day in Serie A. Some big results to discuss. Let's start, shall we, with Juventus against Roma. Always going to be the headline tie, Gab. Brilliant start from Juventus. Roma, though, getting that equaliser from Tammy Abraham in the second half.
They did. Obviously, it has been a rough week for Max Allegri. Things started so well for Juve. Dusan Vlahovic with a peach of a free kick. Juve then had a goal disallowed, created numerous chances. Like Jose Mourinho said that after the game at halftime, that he was embarrassed by their performance. But then in the second half, Roma moved to a back four, and they got the equalizer. Dybala setting up Tammy Abraham. Dybala, of course, first game back at the Juventus Stadium since his tears the last time he was there.
Yeah, that's the interesting thing. Dybala's return, obviously, Gab. How did he perform overall?
It's funny. Mourinho said that he was great. I humbly disagree. I mean, he came up huge in setting up Abraham for the goal, but I thought he had a bit of a lackluster game. I mean, Juve, I can't overstate how impressive Juve were in the first 45 minutes, especially relative to their performance the previous week against Sampdoria. But Roma are really, really resilient. And Mourinho made the tactical change that they needed, got back into the game. One last thing about Roma, people were saying, oh, with all those attacking players, you know, they could be rubbish at the back. Well, they've only conceded one goal all season, and that was from a set piece.
Elsewhere, defending champions remain unbeaten. A comfortable 2-0 win for them, Gab?
Yeah, I'd say so. You know, Bologna, an incomplete team right now. They're still hoping to bring in a couple players before the window closes. Milan went out there. Rafael Leao, Giroud. You know, they got the job done. We finally saw Adli make his debut. This Milan team, they play with so much energy and so much togetherness, and they have the quality going forward. And the great thing is, as I've said before, Pioli has his changers. Here it was Salamakers coming on, it was Adli coming on. He's got a deep team, interchangeable parts in certain areas, and he's making the most of it.
Meanwhile, Gab, we got you on. We got to discuss yesterday's win for Lazio. Impressive stuff against Inter.
Yeah, and like I don't even think Inter were terrible. I mean, they certainly, obviously, a defensive error leading to the first goal. But it was more a case of Lazio playing great. Luis Alberto, you know, remember he was supposed to leave in the summer. He wasn't a Sarri-type player. Of course, you know, he comes on, scores an absolute peach of a goal. Pedro adding the third. This Lazio side, they have a lot of individual quality with Luis Alberto if he gets on the pitch, obviously Milinkovic-Savic. And I don't want to say Inter, you know, took this a little bit lightly, although obviously started Gagliardini instead of Calhanoglu, which raised a few eyebrows. But it was more a case that when Lazio kicked it up several notches, Inter couldn't really respond.
Anything else catch your eye this weekend, Gab, so far?
Well, we have some big games coming up tomorrow. We'll get a shot at seeing Napoli again. Mm. But really, Torino, they're right up there with the big boys at the top of the table for now. Very, very early, but certainly it speaks to some of the moves that they made over the summer. And one last thing, Milan adding some depth at the back, picking up. The German under-21 international Malik Thiaw from Schalke. I think the deal is going to go through on Monday, and it adds depth and it fits what Milan tried to do by picking up gifted youngsters from around Europe.
Great stuff, Gab Marcotti, as always. Just a reminder then how things look at the top of the table. Of course, early doors at the moment. But you have got four teams that are currently sitting on 7 points apiece. AC Milan, Lazio, Roma, and as Gab mentioned, surprisingly, Torino. And they will be reunited this Monday, I'm told. The Gab and Jules podcast with the headline acts back in their respective seats. Be sure to check it out over on the website.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Norwich City then with the win. That puts them up to fourth in the table. But it's your old side, Reading, Shaka.
Yeah.
Who sit at the top of that. I thought you'd be more excited by that.
I'm very surprised. The expectation is Reading would have struggled this season. Don't say that.
That's what you were thinking.
No, it wasn't.
Mr. Negative.
The silence made me think that.
Oh, no, really?
No. Yes.
That's it?
No, we'll be all right.
There was quite a long period of silence when Shaq was processing.
Like, no.
Could you not read it?
Yeah, no, I'm just... The expectation really was nothing like that.
All right,
and
then.
I was worried.
So you said they're going down.
There we go. Much like this show. Better than expected. Tomorrow for more. Till then, goodbye. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for all your questions. Shaka Hislop is with us. How's your tummy now, Shaka? It's all
much better, thank
feeling
you.
Better, that's yes. That's good. Stevie Nicol is with us as well. We also welcome the pro. Janog Fjortov is with us, as is Frank LeBeuf. Thank you very much, Frank. I reached out to Frank yesterday because I had friends going to Paris this weekend. Frank very helpfully gave him a list of places they should go and eat. Oh. However, one of the places was an Italian restaurant, Frank, which surely somehow contradicts what you want when you're going to France.
Well, you know, France makes more pizza than in Italy, I was told. You know,
right.
I wrote that. I read that, sorry. Yeah, and we love Italian restaurants, you know. We are in competition with the Italians about the best, the most beautiful women, the most handsome men, the most beautiful cuisine,
yes.
And the best wines. But we can accept the fact that in Italy, they have a fantastic food. And I love to go to Italian restaurants.
It's talking about cuisine, Stevie. What? But if you're going to Paris,
he's never had a Mars bar. He never had a Mars bar dipped in fat, clearly.
Oh, deep fried Mars bar.
Deep fried Mars bar.
Yeah. But Dan,
wrapped down with a
Dan,
can of tennis
lager. You have to admit, no. Forget about the shepherd's pie. We hate that and we never get to that, you know.
Jan's light is about to blow. Hurry up, Frank. Jan's going to be in the dark in a minute.
What's happening to Jan's light?
It's about to blow.
I will fix it.
Hey, Saturday night is disco night. Sorry, Frank.
I will fix it.
Okay, but that's good.
You're an electrician as well.
Frank, what were you saying, sir? Sorry.
Yeah, sir. Just to finish the story, don't forget that I said that your friends need to go to a French brasserie.
Yes.
That they have to go there.
Yes.
And I invite all people who are coming to France to go to brasseries because they're absolutely beautiful and the food is very French. You have all sorts of cuisine. It's a great moment to go through.
Beautiful. And what cuisine would you give Stevie if he went to a French brasserie?
Oh my God. I don't know. Get some bread, maybe that's going to be enough for you.
Escargot shepherd's pie.
Imagine it.
Goodness.
Okay, here we go. First question. We've had a lot of these ones. How do you intend to use the $50 that Stevie's going to give you? It's, of course,
Wait, hold on. What was he bet? I don't know.
I'll have to finish top four.
We have a long way to go yet.
We do have a long way to go. You nervous a little bit?
No chance.
Why not, Stephen? They're perfect.
Chelsea,
he's rich.
Spurs, City, and Liverpool.
He's a rich.
There you go. There's your four ahead of them.
Wow, stubborn. Mm-hmm.
And there's always a little sneaky. Every year, there's a wee sneaky.
Is there?
Usually.
Not really.
Usually.
When?
Usually.
When was the last sneaky?
West Ham? Yeah.
When's the last time they finished in the top
West
four?
Ham.
2 years ago.
It was longer than that.
Sneaky.
Longer than that.
No, wait a minute. Sneaky, as in Arsenal being sixth.
West Ham.
Sixth, by the way. Being sixth, not fair. So Arsenal's still got to deal with a wee sneaky coming up, as well as the four I've given you.
So do you want double or nothing?
I don't want to take his money.
Nah, take it. He's off buying jackets and new suits and all that.
No, he's not. He must have got that for free. Nah. That's stupid. There's no way he bought that.
Double or nothing?
Go on, take it.
I'm quite happy with $50.
No, take it.
Okay.
You'll be twice as happy with $100.
Twice as wrong with
you. Doctor.
To be quite honest, I'm not worried about the money. Just the fact that I'm going to beat him was enough for me.
Right, okay. Stevie, Klopp admitted that Liverpool needs another midfielder and would address this in the transfer period. Mm. Regardless of today's result, shouldn't Liverpool go get Bellingham now, since he would fill a need and also to stop any competing teams from signing him? Now, everything we've heard from Germany is that there's
wouldn't
no way
be a bad move.
Dortmund would not entertain that move whatsoever.
No.
Well, money talks, doesn't it?
Well, not
generally.
Not necessarily, though.
Dortmund no, not necessarily. It doesn't, but...
Well, we've already established not necessarily.
Right. Are they going to turn down 200 grand?
Sorry? 200
they,
grand?
Yeah, they're going to turn down?
200 grand, probably, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, right. No. See, now we know you're talking rubbish.
Well, you said grand.
Hold on. Oh, so I did as well. I meant 200 million.
Oops.
We've got a big offer for you. 200. Hey.
You just wait till you hear this.
200 grand. No, 200 million. No, 200 million. Oh,
goodness me.
For the Champions League, you can have Manchester City, PSG, or the field to win it all. Which side are you and why, Jan?
For the Champions League, you can have Manchester City, PSG, or the field to win it all.
Yeah.
Help me, Dan. So
you can either have Manchester City or PSG, or you can have every other side that's competing in the Champions League.
Of course, I will take the rest of the rest.
Best, really?
Of course.
Yeah.
You have the Harlem Globetrotters, PSG, and Manchester City, you will have some good players, but there's so many good players, Bayern Munich, Real Madrid, who just win the Champions League for fun. So, of course, I will take the rest.
What about you, Frank?
To say that I'm hesitating, because if you have City players and PSG player and can have a harmony in it, it's not that bad to win the Champions League, and it could be enough, because it's only about details, mentality, and with the players you have in hands. Yeah, I will get the Man City PSG.
Then I have a question, Dan, to Frank.
Yes.
Oh. So say Manchester City got the best team and the favorites terms of getting Erling Haaland every now. So I will ask Frank then, who will it take from the PSG team to make Manchester City better, and who should then go out of Manchester City? I guess you will take Mbappé, so that's too easy. But who?
Answer the question, eh?
That's a hard question. I didn't think through. Well, I think I will put Marquinhos for sure at the central defense instead of Stones, I would say.
Okay.
I try to think really quickly about the team.
Don't worry, Frank.
Yeah, you can
talk about this later.
Viviana call. Okay. Viviana call later.
You can FaceTime.
Go get yourself some pasta.
Where are you on this?
I call you Jan. I'll call you after.
The field. I'm on the field.
You with the field?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the smart bet's the field, isn't it?
Well, you're not very good at smart bets, so maybe you want to go take the other one.
I don't know, but I bet with you. That's a very smart bet.
Well, we'll see about that. Frank, can Fofana be as good as his price tag?
Nobody worth a price like that, that as simple as that. You know, you have the offers and the demands, and you deal with that. And nobody can say I'm worth 85 million. I mean, we had the example with Harry Maguire, and we see the result. So I always say that I would never pay that amount of money because it's too much for a young player. But he's a fantastic player, and he's going to be, if he's not injured, or if he keeps the same frame of mind, he will be a fantastic player and a great, great player. But see Virgil van Dijk. 2 years ago, before his injury, he was the top of the top. Now we are questioning his abilities because he got injured. So that would be the same for Fofana. But if he's not injured, if he keeps the same mentality, Fofana is going to have a great future. And it doesn't worth that, because it's not worth that, sorry, because nobody worth that, but he's a fantastic player.
Stevie, we talked about this in the show. Last time Liverpool scored 9-0, you scored twice in the game. What was the atmosphere in the dressing room like afterwards?
Oh, just smiling and trying to figure out how we managed to win 9-0.
Oh, that's nice.
Stevie, winning 9-0, and Stevie comes up with smiling. Thank you.
Liverpool, you did it.
That's Liverpool. Well, that's
like
Liverpool.
Yeah,
I love that.
It was kind of like every other game.
Yeah, you were like the modern day Arsenal. It's winning. Yeah.
Oh, no.
No.
I can assure you. We get back in the dressing room. Right, how quick can I get a bath, get my gear on and get up to the players' bar?
Right. And how?
I don't think Arsenal players are thinking that. They're too busy doing another lap of honour, giving it all this part.
Sure. It's like thanking the fans.
Yeah, aye. Well,
what's wrong with that?
There's nowhere else to go, apart from home. So we keep walking, running around till everybody's gone.
Oh.
Well, we'll go back in, lads. What are we doing now?
Oh. How long would it take you for the full-time whistle to have a pint in your hand?
Oof.
2 seconds.
20 seconds?
Between 15 and 20 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Players power.
Yeah. Jan. Considering yes. all three, sorry, just give us, people may not know what the players bar was, obviously self-explanatory in some ways, yeah. but it's where their families would go as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and in the 80s, most, I mean, it's amazing today, right? So you go to generally every ground in the Premier League today.
Yes.
They've got these big fancy suites for the players.
Right.
They've got another side room for the kids.
Yes.
They've got nannies.
Right.
The club actually bring in nannies
yeah.
for game day
yeah.
to watch the kids. And then they've got the food for the kids and ice cream at halftime.
Yes.
And now, another day,
yeah.
you got two tickets for the lounge.
Right.
Two.
Okay.
So that meant if your wife wanted to come,
yes.
nobody else could get in.
Right.
Pretty much.
The other ticket
well,
was for you.
The kids.
Hold on, see.
You got the kids,
right?
So the kids need a ticket. No, you get two. You get two tickets.
No.
Anyway,
right.
And it was a hole. Pretty much everyone was the same.
Right.
It was like a little hole in the corner of the stadium
yes.
where they stuck a horrible little bar thing in where you could just attach stuff. And pour beer that was like,
oh god,
all frothy and everything.
You're sold it so lovely before in the last
there, and now you're sold it.
Every single person. Every single person.
This is the worst place in a football ground, but I'll be there in 15 minutes flat.
Ask Jan, right, in Frank. Every single person would come to Anfield and go, oh, I can't go to the players' lounge. Like, this imaginary. All the players are going to be there, and oh wow.
Yes.
And then they walk into this old room that's the oldest carpet.
Right.
The seats and
the couches
and all the couches.
Yeah.
There was a flood in the candy lounge, so it was next door to our lounge.
Right.
And we got that stuff. We got that stuff.
That's brilliant.
Oh, my goodness.
But the thing is, of course, by the players' part, because Stevie is right, there was nothing always the greatest thing. But I came back to Middlesbrough after many years away, and I just met this man, and I thought, I know him, but I can't remember. He must have been important for my career. Blah, 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 blah. I can't remember. And at halftime, I remember he was the guy standing in the door of the players' lounge because Stevie is saying, he's right, you've got two tickets, but you have to find a way to get more in.
Right.
So he was the key man because you will try to get in. I had always a lot of Norwegians over, so I had to get them in. But the players' bar, you missed them because that was a good thing.
So what we used to do was the candy lounge was next door.
Okay, because candy was sponsors at
candy
the time.
Candy was sponsors, right? And there was a kitchen adjoining the two.
Right.
And so what you would do is, depending on who was in the candy lounge,
who was in the door,
you get in, and then you siphon them around the back of the kitchen.
Brilliant.
And back in through the bar.
Liverpool. Well done, Charles.
And then Terry, who's on the...
Secret kitchen, just sneaking
through. Terry Littlewood, who's on the door. He kept looking in the lounge, and it's absolutely more than he's like, ah, look at all these people. How do all these people get in?
And so was there a tradition of a Saturday night out with the players?
No, everybody.
Everyone, yeah, you can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
just going to the candy lounge.
Yeah, it's great. Time in the kitchen.
2 days later.
Dan, I love the way Steve is telling that story. It's like this strategy they have. It's like Churchill in 1940.
Oh, yeah. It's like escape.
Honestly.
Okay. Jan, considering all three Manchester United signings are playing well and almost cemented their place in the starting 11, should the United hierarchy just blindly trust Ten Hag and acquire all his wishlist players, irrespective of the price?
Well, it's funny how much 5 days do, isn't it? There was a time 6 days ago when we thought about Manchester United being the recruitment where they had to play in Ajax or in Holland or play with Steve McClann in 2020, 12 years ago, FC Twente and Schede, you know? And but to be fair to Ten Hag, two wins now, it's changed that a bit. But we have to think as well that maybe Ten Hag has asked the hierarchy at Manchester United to get some other players. We don't know about that. Up till now, the recruitments of Manchester United not been the best. But as you're saying, the three new ones now, and you'll find a way that they will establish them well in the team. But Ten Hag needed that, but just shows you what crisis. The Manchester United crisis that we talked about 6 days ago, gone.
Finally, Frank, what's your take on Kai Havertz at Chelsea? In my opinion, he seems to be focused on the wrong things on the pitch, like starting petty brawls and time-wasting instead of helping out in attack.
Well, I saw today, for example, two Havertz. The first half completely invisible, inexistent, and second half where he was very useful, holding the ball, you know, working hard. So it depends on his mood, let's say. He can be the top of the top, but sometimes I can agree that you say, what is he looking for? When he plays against Everton, and every time he plays against Everton, he tries to fight with a huge central defenders where he knows he's too light for that. But he's still young. And he has an ego. He thinks he can do stuff that he's not able to do. But I don't want to criticize him. I mean, he might be the only one in the front line who has a kind of consistency in his performances. So I will be light in criticism.
Beautiful. That is it. Thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow for more. Both Real Madrid and Barcelona in action tomorrow. We'll be focusing on both of those games. So be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.